Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join us. I'm Jim Barber. We turn once again to Hebrews chapter 11 in our ongoing study of the Hall of Faith and how it is that we might gain God's approval by walking by faith. Lord, bless your word and strengthen your people through it. Accomplish your eternal purposes and plans in each of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your Bibles, turning with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we read verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We are learning how to gain God's approval as those who have gone before us. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, how that they went before us, and faith is what they used, these men of old. They used faith to gain God's smile, to gain his approval, to gain his commendation. In chapter 10, verse 35, we read, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Faith has indeed a great reward. And verse 38 of Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that God speaking, my righteous one shall live by faith. We not only have reward through faith, but in fact, we live by faith. And verse 39, the last verse of Hebrews chapter 10, says that faith preserves the soul. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So faith has reward. We live by faith, and faith preserves our very souls. Now, we come to verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith. And this two-word declaration, this two-word phrase, by faith, it's the first time of 19 verses which we have in this chapter, which begin with these two words, by faith, by faith, by faith. It is driven home to us that the integral key, the vital part, that all-important component of the lives which are held out before us, that they gained approval, it was by faith. Here we read, by faith, we understand. Faith is not closing your eyes, but opening them. Faith is not tossing your brain away, it is using it fully. Faith is not about deeper levels of ignorance and blind trust. It is about comprehension. We understand. In John chapter 1 and verse 5, as the Word of God, the Son of God, is introduced by the Apostle John, in verse 5 of that mighty chapter and that prologue, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or did not overcome or overpower it. Those without the eyes of faith were groping in darkness themselves rather than being illumined by the glorious light of the Son of God. Comprehend or overcome something. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's a picture of someone. They have the ability to grasp something, and in so grasping something, they overcome it or they get a handle on it. Well, the darkness, it could not get a handle. It could not comprehend or understand the light. It was like it was slippery through its fingers. And so the light prevailed. Let no one deride you for being a man or a woman of faith. Pray for those who spitefully use you and those who malign you. But you, child of God, you are the one who are walking in the light with understanding and with comprehension. Those who determinately reject to walk by faith, they are the ones without understanding and in fact cheating themselves. By faith we understand, by faith we perceive, by faith we grasp what we otherwise could not. By faith we comprehend and discern what mystifies and baffles others who consider themselves too heady to submit to the walk of faith, to walk by faith. Pride, as with the devil, has been their downfall, their beggaring. By faith we understand what? We understand through the agency and instrument of faith that the worlds, plural, worlds, plural, our planet, our galaxy, and all of the others which continue to amaze the astronomers, the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. There is no indication in the Bible of other civilizations, outside of this planet. But yet, the wonder of the planets which are closest to us and those heavenly bodies which are light years away from us. What a marvel. They were prepared by the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you look through a telescope, a microscope, or with just your own eyeballs, this is an incredible world, so rich, so diverse, so intricate, so vast. Where did it come from? Where? How did it get here? Who made it? What powers and processes were at work? You know as well as I do that there are a variety of explanations to answer these questions, or attempts to answer these questions. They basically fall into two categories. There are those which declare this world in agreement with Psalm 19 and Psalm 24 that this is the work of God's mighty hand. And there are those who would utterly throw out any slight possibility of God creating this world. Mindless forces did it, apparently. And the real reason is that if these people were to accept a creator, it only stands that they would also have to accept him as the one with authority to whom they should bow. The one who rules and reigns and governs his creation. You can't have the one without the other. And because man shall have his way, God and any thought of him having a say in our lives must be completely pulverized in the dust. There are also those who, in the weirdest way, want to blend the power of God and evolutionary forces. This doctrine and teaching of compromise is surely the most abhorrent and destructive, for it confuses horribly two diametrically opposite beliefs. Even ardent evolutionists and atheists understand that the God of the Bible has nothing to do with the creation which takes millions and billions of years to effect. We read here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. The Word of God. This verse brings front and center three great eternal realities for our enriching in the order in which they are brought before us. Number one, faith. What will gain us God's approval, that is. Secondly, there is the Word, and how we violate the sanctity of the precious words which we are given and the words which we utter, how careless we are in the dispelling of that which can bless and encourage and strengthen, and how we deal out words of cruelty without thought, thinking, oh, I didn't mean it. I'll take that back. But it is gone. It is gone forth. And once it is gone forth, it is there. We have faith and we have Word. Thirdly, we have God, the eternal and almighty one. And these three are intimately bound together. We are not, as some attempt to do, to have faith in faith, or to have faith in any old word spoken, but we are to exercise faith in the Word of God. Paul in Romans chapter 10 tells us how it pleases God, how God has decreed that faith is to come about. We read that faith comes, how? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, by the gospel. You see, when it speaks of faith comes by hearing, it isn't simply in your ear that there is some vibrations that take place. It is that the Word of God comes to you and it grips a hold of you, that it lays hold of you, that it with strong hands grips your heart and says, this is true, this is real. Faith comes about by hearing, and hearing comes about by the Word of God that is mighty, that is indeed mighty. And further, we read in Psalm 138, verse 2, you, God, have magnified your word according to all your name. The honor of God, or the honor of the Word of God, is inseparably tied to the honor of God himself. If we are to gain the approval of God, we must walk by faith, live by faith. Faith must permeate every fiber of our being. It must be fully true of us that we are indeed people of faith. If we accept this vital place and power of faith, then we must honor the Word of God as we honor God himself. There can be no artificial divide between the one and the other. Let no one ever malign the Bible's authority and foolishly imagine that they are yet pleasing to God. Let no one think to pick holes in the Bible and teach that it is full of errors or that it is just the pious rambling of well-intentioned but misguided ancient mystics who never knew any better, who never had the privilege of being to the academy. Faith has helped us to see what we previously missed. Having faith, we are able to comprehend that when there was nothing at all, no lumber store, no rock quarry, no hardware store, no chemistry lab, not a single celled organism anywhere at all, that through the power of God and God alone, out of nothing, nothing at all, he stepped forward to speak. Many times I've heard people talk about something that they have created. That always catches me, and I can't help but point out that these people who imagine themselves to be a creator have created nothing at all. They have taken something and they have refashioned it into something else. A potter takes a lump of clay and fashions that into something of their own choosing. A carpenter takes some wood that they have obtained and they build a house, they build a shed, they build a piece of furniture, but they have not created something. They have just refashioned those pieces. But God, when there was no stores from which to obtain any supplies, God steps forward and he indeed created this world out of nothing. In Genesis chapter 1, there are only two actions attributed to God. In verse 2, it says that the Spirit of God was hovering, or that the Spirit of God was moving over the waters, considering how that God would take this unformed lump of clay over which chaos reigned and make something beautiful, something of order out of what he had created. And then there is also, secondly, speaking. God moved and God spoke into existence and brought into existence all that there is and the order that there is simply by the power of his spoken word. God spoke, and it was so. The elements of this world, they jumped to attention and they jumped to order. They jumped to obey the command of God. For the word of God is just that mighty. Consider the power and the honor of the word of God. All about us has come into being by that mighty word. Does that not, should that not, must that not stir in our hearts an awe? And should we not fall on our faces declaring, I too shall attend his every word? In Genesis chapter 3, Satan took his little dagger, and he couldn't have placed it more strategically than exactly where he did. He comes to the woman and he says to Eve, in questioning, in doubt, he said, did God say, that if you eat of any fruit of the garden that you will die? Eve gave an answer, and the devil comes straight at the word of God. It wasn't that he was as much interested in Adam and Eve. He was coming straight to question the very word of God. He says, that's not true. What God has said to you is not correct. It is not accurate. You will not die. It's not true what God has said. Satan was outright attacking the truthfulness and trustworthiness of the Word of God, and thereby the very character of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen, was not made out of things which are visible. Here in this concluding statement of this single verse, there is a dichotomy which believers are ever faced with. We know that we are in the world, in this world, but we are not to be of the world. We live here, but the world must not live in us. Paul, as he would write to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he told them, we are to walk, that is, to live our lives, everything about us, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. John Bunyan, in his Pilgrim's Progress, he pictures Christian, his main character, as going through this world, headed towards the celestial city, toward heaven. And Christian, as he grew in grace, as he would grow in grace and in the knowledge of his Lord and Savior, more and more he was walking by faith, and not by sight and by the call of the voices which were round about him. Paul also, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he brings forth this tension and this pull that we have. He says to the Romans, he says, we are not to be conformed to this world, not to be conformed to it. We are not to be shaped by it. We are not to allow this world to force us into its mold, how much it would want to do that. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. Transformed by the power of God. What's the difference between conformity and a transformation? A few moments ago, I spoke to you about a potter who would take a piece of clay and fashion that either on a potter's wheel or just with their bare hands. They would fashion that clay into something, and then they would put it into a kiln, and there would be that which would stand for as long as you like until it's smashed. But that is a conformation, that is conforming the clay to a certain image, whether it would be of a person or of a pottery vessel that would carry water. But if that potter was to take that clay and with the touch of their hand, they were to transform that clay, very ordinary material indeed, if they were to transform that clay into gold, you would say, that piece of clay, that bit of clay, that lump, has not been conformed. It has been transformed by some mighty power. This is what is for us as well. We are not to be conformed to this world, but there is to be a surrender to the power of God so that we, by that mighty power that spoke on creation's morning, and that mighty power that brought Jesus Christ alive again from the dead on resurrection morn 2,000 years ago, that same power would be at work in us. This world is visible, and our fallen nature craves to enjoy and revel in all of the pleasures of this world, for we also see that our days are numbered. and that with increasing age generally comes increasing weakness and frailty, and eventually death. So it makes sense to live life to the full, for tomorrow we die. That's what we do when we live only by sight. But the voice of faith beckons to us. What you see is not all there is, faith declares. Though the pleasures of this world are alluring and very powerful in their persuasion, there are eternal pleasures ahead for those with eyes to behold them. And there is a land fairer than any daybreak, in which pain, weakness, sorrow, tears, arthritis, cancer, emphysema, heart disease, stroke, heart attack, pandemic, death. None of these are known there. None of them are known there. A land where none hunger and no thieves break in. There is nothing whatsoever unclean. Sight says, this is it, now or never. Faith says, there it is. There it is. Do you see it? Behold, how great is our God. Oh, my dear friend, would you desire, would you indeed crave God's approval? Then you are walking by faith. You are walking by faith. And the smile of God is upon you. And as we continue to study in this chapter, you will learn more of what it is to walk by faith. Lord, our desire is that we might have your approval, that you would look down upon us, and that you would smile upon us for walking in this world, trusting in you, listening for your voice. So, Lord, I pray that you would continue that good and great work which you have begun in us, and may it all be to your honor and glory. And may the crucified one ever be lifted up in our hearts and in our lives. So accomplish what is pleasing in your sight, we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, we thank you for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of an offer which we have, which is free and postage paid to all who request it. My father, Dr. H.H. Barber, Pastor H.H. Barber, for many years was a familiar voice across Canada in television and radio ministry. We have just completed a DVD of his life, and we would like you to have a copy of this free memorial DVD. Ask for it when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6, or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg. I'm Jim Barber, and I leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.